This is CliffCentral.com.
All right. I haven't actually heard the Red Hot Chili Peppers in ages. Forgot how good they are. All right. Yeah. Thank you, Catherine, for sorting us out there on the definition of Zephyr. Okay, Mabali Moloi is standing by to give us some news. What do you got for us, Mabs?
Oh, well, bad news all around, I'm afraid.
Oh, no.
Well, that's the way it is. So,
can't we just refresh and maybe there'll be some fresh news?
That's good.
We'll begin in Nigeria, where three women suicide bombers have blown themselves up at the entrance to a camp for displaced people in northeast Nigeria. And in that process, they claimed the lives of 28 people and wounded another 82.
Do we know why they did it?
Well, Gareth, it all has to do with...
Wait, don't tell me. The religion of peace.
And the irony of saying a statement like
Northeast that. Nigeria has been a hotbed of activity by the jihadist group Boko Haram for quite a number of years now. They have been involved in shootings, in bombings, and kidnappings. And according to reports, since 2009, Boko Haram launched an insurgency that has killed at least 20,000 people and has displaced around 2.6 million others.
Right.
Saying that they have created one of the world's biggest humanitarian crises. And so, you know, three female bombers triggered the explosive outside of the internally displaced persons camp. The first assailant blew herself up, which triggered a panic. Mm-hmm. Then people were trying to close their shops when two other female bombers triggered their explosives, and they caused most of the casualties. According to an anti-jihadist, or rather the head of a local anti-jihadist militia force, Ibrahim Liman, he confirmed the details of the attack, saying that more than 80 people were injured and had to be taken to a hospital in Maiduguri. Now, after being elected into power back in 2015, Nigerian President Muhammadu Buhari made tackling the insurgency of Boko Haram a priority, which, you know, helped to strengthen his campaign and to win a lot of support. But this year has seen an increase in attacks of this nature. It included an assault on an oil exploration team that killed 69 people back in July, and then it raised fears that Boko Haram is regaining strength. So unfortunately, that is the news that we're waking up to this morning with regards to what's happened in parts of Nigeria.
Ah, it's beautiful.
But do you know what I have to...
You know what Boko Haram means?
Mm-mm.
That the books are haram. In other words, to learn is bad, and it's directed at women. They don't want women to be educated. That's their main thing. That's their main thrust.
I'll have to say, though, what keeps my faith alive is... Every time I speak to someone from Nigeria, they are so vehemently focused on still making their country better. Because I remember when, you know, Boko Haram first took the girls, they kidnapped the girls, and I spoke to someone from Nigeria. They were like, no, but that is just a small region of Nigeria, and that's not the whole country, and we will change it and whatnot. So... Yeah, maybe we can take a page out of their book to learn about that.
What do you do when there's a religion that's spreading itself by the sword and that doesn't want women educated? They want to stultify and retrograde the entire process of education for women in that country. And not just for women, by the way. They don't even want men educated. They want everyone to go backwards. In other words, the past was better than now. They're traditional conservatives. You could even call them reactionaries. It's just very ugly and messy. And don't think that this is not our problem because we're so many kilometers away. Nigeria also thought it wasn't their problem when it was happening in North Africa. And Kenya didn't think it was their problem because it was happening in Somalia. Coming further and further south by the day. That's why I keep telling people the biggest threat to your and my freedom isn't Jacob Zuma or the right wing or the left wing or anything else. It's the militant spread of Islamic ideology south of the Sahara. But what are we going to do? All right, what else is going on? I don't want to hear about that.
Public Service and Administration Minister Faith Mutambi is apparently going to be subpoenaed to appear before Parliament so that she can respond to claims of nepotism and misuse of public funds.
She didn't pitch last time. Remember, she was like, middle finger.
Yeah. Mutambi and five other ANC MPs boycotted a Parliament committee yesterday. The meeting was chaired by Makosi Khoza, who has spoken out against President Zuma's leadership. Now, the committee was due to grill Mutambi on claims that she spent about 300,000 rand flying 30 relatives and their friends to Cape Town to attend her budget vote address. Oh, such a big family affair. This occurred during her tenure as communications minister. She's now public service and administration minister. She is also accused of employing friends and family members. And Khoza believes that the boycott is a response to her criticism of the president. So Faith Mutambi decided that she wasn't going to pitch for this committee meeting yesterday. But now apparently she will be subpoenaed to appear before Parliament to respond to those claims.
How bad is this Faith Mutambi? She's worse than I thought, right? She's going to be one of the worst people in the world. She flew 30 of her relatives to watch her speak.
Apparently.
And you better believe that it's because Makosi Khoza is chairing this hearing that she won't pitch up, because she has no respect for her at all. She's like, she's a traitor. Right? What a mess. And she keeps giving jobs to her family and friends?
Yep. You've got to take care of your own.
Wow. Wow, we really are being held ransom by a bunch of crooks and thieves and nepotists. Do we deserve this government?
Yes, Gareth. We voted them in. That's what we deserve.
I think people voted for the ANC. I don't know that people voted for Faith Mutambi. Aside from those 30 relatives she flew in, I don't think anyone in this country likes Faith Mutambi or thinks that she's the right person for any job. Any job, including putting railway sleepers down and hammering them into place on a track. I don't imagine that there is a place in the world where Faith Mutambi is the best person for that job. I don't think there's such a job. She will always be the 225th best person for the lowest level job. God, she's bad. And I can't, in my wildest imagination, picture a situation where anyone would run around going, "We need Faith Mutambi. She's the only one who could solve this." Right? You think there's ever going to be that situation?
I highly doubt it.
Booking family flights. That's the only
Not
time.
Not even, because she probably didn't even book them.
Well, she secured the funds for such things.
Secured the funds. She took our tax money. It's easy to spend other people's money. Imagine if I gave you the keys to the safe. I said to you, go for it. Spend whatever you want. That's what she thinks she's there to do. This woman can't get any worse. She really can't. I'm blown away by Faith Mutambi. Who knew she would be the one that would surprise me this morning?
And then members of Parliament are bracing themselves for another social grants fiasco.
That's that other genius, Batabile Dlamini, right?
Yes. It all has to do with meeting the deadline to take over the distribution of social grants. And apparently no contract is still in place with the post office for this to be done. And so Pearl Bengu, who is the acting SASSA boss, she then appeared in Parliament yesterday for the first time to deliver a report outlining timeframes for the agency to take over the payment of grants from CPS, which is Cash Paymaster Services. So she assured Parliament yesterday that SASSA would meet the deadline, but no contract is still in place. So Social Development Minister Batabile Dlamini, she never arrived to this meeting. Because she said that she has government business to attend to.
This is like the most important thing she could do, and she's not there. What is more important, Minister?
MPs wanted details on how the deadline, which is set out by the Constitutional Court for government to take over the administration of payments, would be met. Bengu struggled to provide answers to the committee, admitting that she still does not know what the post office needs order to take over from CPS. The post office will only have its capability assessed on the 25th of this month, while the deal for it to take over the distribution of grants was not yet signed. So there might very well be another crisis or another grants fiasco that will need to be taken care of.
Hmm. Well, you remember how narrowly we averted that crisis last time.
Mm.
All right, here's an email from Tyrell. We haven't heard from him in a while. He says, good evening, because he sent it last night. I was an everyday live listener until May, but then my girlfriend and I had a genius idea of moving to Johannesburg from Durban. Now I don't get to message in anymore. See, the problem is I work 3 times harder with ridiculous hours, averaging about 80 hours of overtime a month. Yaw. Nevertheless, I still make time to download and listen to my favorite parts of your show. Even though it's not the whole thing, it keeps me going like a drug fix. This email is to show appreciation for what you and the team do every morning. I know you guys sometimes get up and ask, what the hell am I doing and why am I doing this? Well, I may not know the answer, and I'm sure half your listeners don't. Just know that there are many people out here that appreciate all that you guys do for us. In closing, I'd like to say, take me to church, Mabali. Big Head Ben, Sassy Sia, Old Man Gareth, and New Girl Amanda. It's a pleasure hearing your voices at least once a day. That's from Tyrell.
Hmm. Oh, nice. That's nice.
Yes.
That is nice.
Okay.
Okay, want to look at some American politics, rather.
Do we?
Well, this is quite interesting, because how does the sound of Pastor Hillary Clinton sound?
Oh, no.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, Hillary Clinton's pastor is actually speaking out, Reverend Bill Schlady, and has said that Hillary has expressed to him that she is interested in potentially going into and preaching as a profession. So
I'm with my ballet. Oh, no.
Listen, politics might not have worked out for her exactly.
Yeah, but you see, so she doesn't
now this might be a new...
She doesn't have that thing. She doesn't have that sauce.
Well, I don't think that she'll be...
She has sauce. Remember, she carries that hot sauce in her bag the whole time. She said that during the, election campaign to try and win black votes. She's
carry
hot sauce in my bag.
She doesn't have that thing. It's not going to work.
Yeah, I don't think she'll be very charismatic or now be catching the spirit every 2.3 seconds.
Black women! What's wrong with you voting for Barack Obama? What's wrong with you? What's wrong with y'all? You niggas are crazy. Black people, let me tell y'all something. If y'all don't ever hear me say preach again, they can kill me tomorrow. But let me tell you something. We're not going to ever get anywhere until we look into the mind of a black man. He doesn't think correctly. I don't care what.
I don't think that she's going to pull this off.
No, she's yeah, she's not very, that vibe. She's very at bland. All. She's got no flavor.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Mm.
When you look back at it now, though, you know, you look at her post and you go, oh, right, you actually have been, quoting a lot from the Bible and you reference that a lot. She was having sex. Pastor Clinton, who knows?
Maybe this is the kind of content she wants to do.
One woman was telling me, she said she was having sex with this man. She was sitting on top of him riding. And she said she had gotten into a groove, so, you know, she might have gripped his head, or she might have put her hands on his shoulders, or locked them around the back of his neck, so she made sure it was just like a horse. She had that saddle, and she had the rope, so she couldn't let go. And as she got into that groove, she's sitting on him, she rocking, and she rolling her rhythm, and she had just forgotten where she was. She got into a deep state of euphoria, because she said the dick was good. But it's not the problem, though. She said the dick was so good that as she started rocking, she just got into it, and all of a sudden, she said something just hit her. Bam! All upside his head. Just slapped him. Dick will make you slap somebody.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
Dick will make you slap somebody.
Yes, ma'am, it
if you
will.
Didn't know, now you...
Maybe that's the kind of preaching she could do. I mean, she probably slapped Bill because his dick got out of control. Right?
That's not anything Dick close to what I somebody. Want to envision,
I'm
really.
I'm telling you.
Oh, well, hey, yeah. Who knows?
There are these two women in America. They call themselves Diamond and Silk. It's two African-American women. No.
I was about to...
And they have, for some reason, YouTube has banned their videos. Well, not banned them, but they've stopped them from being able to monetize their videos. So listen to this. You tell me if you think that this stuff should be banned, right? They've deemed this controversial, not suitable for advertisers. Take a listen to Diamond and Silk. Here they are. They go on lunch dates. They do. Here they are.
I want to give a shout out to Tammy and Carol.
Yes.
You all, this week, the weekend that passed, we went to Danceville, Virginia.
Mm-hmm.
And we had lunch with Tammy and Carol.
Yes.
We had so much fun,
so
y'all.
Much fun.
Can y'all remember back when we did the Choo Choo Train bumper stickers and we told everybody that you go and you once you purchase it, your name will be entered into a drawing?
Mm-hmm.
Well, we pulled the names. This is Diamond and Silk.
Oh, my goodness.
Listen, girl, we...
Hey, darling, yes.
Listen, we call... Listen,
yes.
We calling you to let you know that you are the winner of the lunch date, baby. We are coming.
So they do these lunch dates with girls all over the country, and they go to different cities in America, and they have lunch with people. And
mm-hmm.
They've been...
That is not a
shabby
gig.
For some reason, YouTube say they're controversial. And I don't understand this. Apparently, they have some points of view that don't fit with kind of, Google are in trouble anyway with this whole thing around diversity. And these women don't agree that diversity is always a good thing. They think that sometimes diversity can be a distraction in the workplace. So they've uttered one or two opinions that Google don't agree with, and now they're not able to monetize their YouTube videos. Doesn't that sound messed up to you? Like corporate bullying?
Is that because somebody reported them?
I don't know. It must be. Must be, right? I mean, Diamond and Silk, they don't sound like dangerous people.
Well, firstly, they sound like a good time, if you ask me.
Exactly.
But no, that's quite a bizarre reaction from Google's point of view.
They are a little bit odd because Google are trying really hard to be politically correct about everything. You know, so many of these companies are. And I think in the future, I said this 5 years ago already, in the future, the companies that will succeed in winning people over are the companies that are not politically correct, that do not try to run this middle ground, this area where there's no personality and character. In other words, the kind of companies that express a point of view, that stand for something. And Diamond and Silk obviously stand for something, and Google don't like this.
It was a fabulous time.
It was an amazing time.
That's what
you,
listen.
You know, just getting to be there with your fans.
With your fans.
People that love you.
Right.
And they are excited, just like we are excited.
Yeah. We were
amazing.
So excited to. It was just like we were girlfriends, you all. We was like, those are my sisters from another mister.
That's right.
Those are
yes.
my sisters from another mister.
Yes.
And I love you girls in Danville. Stay
yes.
warm, be safe.
Be safe.
And listen, hopefully we will see each other somewhere around the way.
Yes.
But we love y'all.
We
Our
love
sisters
you.
From another mister.
Yes.
They won the drawing, you all. And Tammy won the drawing, and she invited her guest, which was her sister, Carol.
Yes.
And we had a good time.
So clearly Diamond and Silk are getting into trouble because their opinion. Which is just insane. I mean, it seems to me that everybody wants everyone to agree with them the whole time. If you don't agree with somebody the whole time, you must be a bad person.
It's a very arrogant stance to have, is thinking that you and your points of view are always the correct ones and that everybody else must fall into line with what you think.
I mean, listen to these tweets from them. I don't disagree with anything they say. Stop the violence. This is the United States, not the divided states. We are one race, and that's the human race. Prayers for Charlottesville. Refuse to sugarcoat the truth, Diamond and Silk, about what went down in Charlottesville. If you can't handle the truth, don't listen to this. So you want to hear what it is? Here's an opinion that got them into trouble with YouTube.
I didn't want us here.
That's right.
I mean, what the likelihood, two country girls, how all this stuff happened?
Look, girl.
I mean, you got what I'm saying.
I'm looking at some of our old videos.
And you just get tickled, don't you?
Girl.
I mean, no. So we cannot. Mm. Let people shut us up because people want to spread lies.
Yes.
They
want to
stamp lies, tell lies. And get
yes,
you
girl.
To believe it.
Yes, sister.
They taking sensationalize a story and
yes.
evoke an emotion. And everybody running around here acting crazy.
Like a
food.
And don't even know the facts.
Don't even know.
And then if you don't buy into the lie,
yes,
here come the trolls.
Yes.
They trying to call you out your name.
Out your name.
Okay, so let's talk about it.
Let's talk
about it. So the other day, I'm always minding my business.
We don't bother nobody. No.
And I see, okay, the very fake news announcing something is going down in Charlottesville.
Okay.
So I'm like, okay, whatever, whatever, whatever. So I'm looking, okay, it looked like somebody is, you know, they are, you know, doing their little demonstration because they don't want this statue to remove, whatever, whatever.
Okay.
Okay. Go ahead.
I know that you're going to go there, but can I just say one thing
yes,
about the statue?
Yes, you can. Uh-huh.
Okay. Everybody remember your history. It was the Democrats that wanted to extend slavery, okay? Mm-hmm. It was the Republicans that fought for your freedom.
That's right.
Okay. Okay. And so these
You know, people didn't know that.
No, people.
People of color didn't know
that. Did not know that.
Go ahead.
That's right. Mm-hmm. So a lot of these statues represent a lot of that stuff that the Democrats have done. Mm-hmm. And a lot of these Democrats, especially Democrats ran cities, they want those statues to come down because they do not want you to remember from what they did to you. Back
your
in slavery,
history.
Your history. Mm-hmm. They don't want you to know your history because if you don't know your history, it will repeat itself and you don't even know that it happened.
And that's why I said, okay, they want to bring it down.
Uh-huh.
Then take all of those statues,
right,
put them in a museum because we can never let the Democrats forget what they did.
Exactly.
Another thing.
All right, so you can see the point is here that they are actually, they're Republicans, first of all, and they're Trump supporters. That's why they get into so much trouble. And people don't like them because obviously it's inconvenient to have two black women speaking about how much they love the Trump administration and they hate fake news. And so the left and the Democrats are obviously targeting them, and that includes some smear campaigns and certainly a defunding by Google and YouTube of their videos. It's kind of wrong.
Yeah, but you know, companies don't really care about what you think. They care about their bottom line, their profits.
Well,
and if their image gets tainted or is at risk by a news story that is gaining momentum, at the end of the day, they're looking to just protect that image. It's not about what's right or what's wrong.
And I'm telling you, that's going to have to change because these companies are not going to get away with that. They can't walk the tightrope and expect people to respect them. So Google, get your shit together. Let Diamond and Silk make their money.
I mean,
how can you stop these women from having their money?
Between the weave, the eyebrows, and the sort of call and like there's camaraderie between the two.
Like
the call and response of it all. Because the one, I don't know
the difference between the Diamond and the Silk. Here's the real problem. No, I don't know which one's Diamond and which
one's
Silk.
Like, one of them just echoes what the others say.
Here's the problem that the left has with these people, is that they don't fit into identity politics. They refuse to do what is expected, what they expect black women to do. They don't fit that stereotype. And identity politics will only survive if everybody in the group says the same thing and believes the same thing and does the same thing. Right? Otherwise, it falls apart.
Mm.
So the most important thing about you is that you are a black woman. Now, you also have to believe X, Y, and Z. You can't be a Republican or support Trump because that'll ruin the whole identity politics argument. And these two are like, hell no, we don't give a shit about you. We're going to stand up for what we believe. Ruins the argument for the identity politicians. So that's why people don't like them. All right.
But isn't this the world that we wanted, guys, for everyone to just be who they are and support what they want and
clearly
say
not.
What they want?
Clearly not. Some people don't like that. Some people want you to fit in with what they have already decided you should believe. Why are you being so quiet, Ben?
Mm.
Oh, there we go. The National Lottery in England, right? They do a lot with sport. They also wanted to have this really cool campaign where they give back to the athletes and say thank you for all the great things they've done.
Yeah.
Well, it's backfired terribly.
Why? What happened?
Because they let people express themselves. They let people do things by themselves. So what you had to do was retweet something basically saying thanks to the athletes. And then you'll get this really great tweet with your name on a placard that comes out. So it'll be thank you. And then the athlete will have a placard and will say Mabali Maloy. Only people weren't writing their names.
They were writing horrible things.
So, naturally, up the arse was then placarded around, the McCanns are killers.
Oh.
But the thing is, all these placards are coming out were being held by the athletes who were smiling, unbeknown to them, the stuff was happening. Jimmy Savile is innocent, another one that came out.
Oh my God.
I have Madeline was another one.
Hi, guys.
Yo.
They were horrible, they were offensive, they were racist, they were rude, there were all kinds of things. And the National Lottery were like, oh, we have to pull this, guys. Well, no shit. You can't let people do anything in this world. It is going to go bad on the internet.
It's like when they named Boaty McBoatface, right?
That was the best they were ever going to get.
You can't trust the public to to come up with the right answer.
I mean, like this poor athlete who had to then be on social media with a big banner saying, I enjoy kids.
And they stuck it through. No,
imagine that.
Closed.
Like, you've just given your all for your country.
Did these people do it?
Well, it's all automated, right? Oh, so the athletes are all holding these place cards.
Oh, I saw one with a girl say, someone sent me a picture of one of them yesterday. Hang on a second. I've got a picture of this, and I was confused as to where it came from. So now Ben's explaining it. It makes more sense.
So,
like, he was saying, like, fist me, daddy.
Yeah, fist me, daddy was another one. Yeah. Look.
Oh, come on.
So, you know, like your thoughts go out to Sophie.
Sophie Hitchin.
Sophie Hitchin, the hammer thrower, right? She's standing there with a card and a smile on her face, and the card's saying, fist me daddy or I want to die. Like another one. This poor
British
dude.
Athletics, hashtag represent. And then it's got her, fist me daddy. Thanks for your support.
Tom Bosworth, the race walker, is just holding a placard saying up the arse. This poor guy, and he's smiling. And these have been screenshotted, and they will never die.
Oh, brilliant.
This is so good. This is PR's worst nightmare. Can you imagine the PR company? They are shitting themselves. Hey,
Dina Asher-Smith, she's nothing more than a sprinter, but here she is with a sign saying Savile is innocent. One of the most notorious pedophiles of our time.
Guys.
Sure.
Oh, this is so good. Sports people who always try their best to be uncontroversial.
But, I mean, they're just nice, innocent people who have achieved something.
But this is beyond innocent. This is just stupid. Obviously, people are going to, like, hijack this for stuff like that.
Oh, this is great.
And this is, like, meant to be a first world country. People know stuff about society, technology, the internet.
I love this.
Like, you thought that My Way song was crap and stupid and badly thought out. This is one of the worst campaigns you'll ever see.
You see, Mubs, companies are going to get eventually to a point where they can't hide in the uncontroversial spaces. They're going to have to stand for something. Look at what happens here. You got British Athletics, the most blancmange, boring, uninteresting, uncontroversial thing
in the world.
Oh, National Lottery, even worse. But it's sports people.
Using the athletes, yeah.
So you've got these boring, boring middle-of-the-road people who, in an interview after an event, go, well, we could have tried our best, but I think we did really well. That's all you get out of them. And now they're holding up a sign saying Jimmy Savile is innocent. God, it's brilliant.
So has there been an apology issued yet? Because that's obviously the next thing, right, is to apologize frantically.
Well, this is what they said. We are aware that some people are maliciously targeting our British Athletics Twitter campaign with offensive and abhorrent content.
What?
Abhorrent content.
Abhorrent, yeah.
So, we are dealing with this as quickly as possible and are hugely sorry for any offense caused by this malicious act. And you never thought that if people were only ever going to do what you said.
But
you
don't they get that morons. It's not the public who are offended, it's them who are offended. The people who put this campaign together. And that's exactly who the perpetrators want to offend. Because we hate it when we get used in your stupid PR campaign. So we'll ruin it for you. That's what people do.
I have Maddie. I mean, that's the terrible. Madeline McCann story. You can never get away from that either.
Where is she?
Who knows?
Well,
is it too soon to joke about her yet?
No,
she must be in her 30s by now.
I mean, even Anthony Martial from Man United is being accused of hitting his wife here. This woman just standing there saying Martial hit his wife.
Wow.
Like, this stuff is hardcore.
Am I the only one cringing from this?
Of course, you know, but PR companies would be because they think they can control the narrative. That's what 2016 and 17 have taught us, is that the media and the PR agencies and the advertisers cannot control the narrative anymore.
Mm.
If you don't have a sense of humor, you're finished. That one, this girl, what's her name? Elid Doyle.
Elid Doyle, the hurdles jumper runner.
And she's holding up a sign saying, McCanns are killers.
Mm. Jesus. Just don't trust human beings on the internet. Just don't trust them to do any good.
Oh, guys, but it's really great user content. No, it goes bad.
Oh, yeah, engagement, and it involves the audience.
User-generated content. Why don't we get our fans, because you're the lottery, our fans can post thank yous.
If I was Tom Bosworth with Up the Arse, I would sue. I would sue.
Sue who, though?
The National Lottery, they seem to have a lot of money.
Billions and billions and
billions and billions and
billions and billions.
All right, so here's Roscoe, who says the YouTube demonetization of videos has been going on for the better part of 4 months. It revolves around adverts being played regardless of the videos they're displayed on. So there were some Nazi YouTube videos found where Ford ads were played. So YouTube has blanketed trigger words across videos, which makes your video not safe for advertisers. So obviously, if you're a Trump supporter, that's one of those triggers. And that's why Diamonds and Silk can't get their videos monetized anymore. And then Double D says, thank you very much for playing that Red Hot Chili Peppers. We would never hear that on any radio station. You've kickstarted my day. Big meeting in London today, so it's all I need. That's from Duncan in London. And Graham says, since we live in a technocratic socialist state, red only seems fitting for the Booker. Ben, this is about their uniforms.
Mm-hmm.
I do laugh at how they're sponsored by MTN, yet they are in Vodacom's corporate colors.
Well, yeah.
Again, these companies are going to have such a tough time keeping their brand and their corporate identity safe and secure. Good luck. That time is over. You are entering a world of controversy just by existing. There's no way to avoid it anymore if you're a company. So all these people who say, that's a bit too controversial for our corporate identity, you're about to find yourself irrelevant. You're about to cost your company money because you'll try to steer clear of that stuff and it will find you. That's the whole purpose of the internet, is to ferret out boring people or people who are trying to sell a message that isn't relevant to the audience. So good luck. That's all I can say. Alrighty, it's just about 7:30. What we're going to do is we're going to meet Gilmore Tees from Zimbabwe. We're going to find out all about what he does. He's an opinionated and followed Zimbabwean. Recently joined the young African leaders that traveled to the U.S. as part of the Mandela Washington Fellowship for 2017, which is apparently an amazing trip. And it was started, the initiative, by Barack Obama. It brings together young African leaders for 6 weeks in the U.S. as part of a fellowship, and he hosts Tatawena, which is a Pan-African magazine TV show, and we'll ask him about a whole bunch of things that are going on in Zim and media and all kinds of other stuff. That's Gilmore. He's coming on in the next couple of minutes. Is there anything else that you wanted to throw in from the news?
Mm-mm.
No, we're good.
Well, I just want to get your opinions on this, though, because I saw that you tweeted the story out yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Of this man from Cape Town who was accused of masturbating in front of a high school last week.
Yeah, he says he had a stroke.
Yes.
And my question was, how many strokes did he have? Was it 3, 5? Was it a whole lot of, how many, 12 minutes of stroking? How many strokes?
This is so weird but on so many levels.
You know, he looks like, you would expect a pedophile to look like this.
Well, he's a 48-year-old man, Jia Dehan, from Mitchell's Plain. And so he was spotted last Wednesday peeping through the fence at schoolgirls and allegedly, you know, pleasuring himself. The witness took photos of him with his penis outside of his pants. He then called the school security officers who chased Dehan down. So, of course, then why did you have to run if you were just having a, you know, a harmless stroke?
Ugh.
The way this is all punny at the same time is just weird.
It takes a special kind of loser to claim something happened to them from a health point of view when they were clearly doing something that was just revolting.
Yeah, well, Jihad claims that he was released from hospital and he was just taking a pee. Happened to be taking a pee.
Sure.
By the fence.
Right. Right at the school with the schoolgirls.
When he just, you know, then had a stroke, and that is when he was found in the compromising position.
And he had to use the term stroke. He had to decide that was what he was suffering from. A stroke. Oh, man.
A for effort when it comes to making up a story.
What a creep.
Yeah. No, we just don't excuse that much.
What kind of a guy goes and jerks off next to a fence where a bunch of schoolgirls are on the other side? What kind of a human being does that? Even apes don't do that.
There needs to be stronger crimes, Gareth. Now, recently in an interview, Gary stronger punishments. In a recent interview, Gary Player said there's no pedophiles in Singapore because they get whipped. They get lashed.
Gary Player said that?
Well, yeah. I mean, I'm putting a blog post together because it's the greatest interview ever with him. And he just said, look, if the stronger punishments, people will not do all this stuff. Mm. You know, in Singapore, if you mess around, if you mess around this kind of stuff, they will whip you like a disobedient mule. So that guy having a stroke outside that school, let's tie him to a post and lash him. And then we see if he does it again. Wow. I'm going to go with no.
Okay.
Mm. We've got to stop being so precious about humans and human rights. These are horrible acts.
We've got to stop being precious about douchey humans.
Exactly.
When people commit crimes, they should be punished accordingly. Why are you trying to still afford them their rights?
Exactly.
After they clearly didn't care about somebody else's.
Exactly. Let's see how he feels. Why did he do this? It's because he's a fucking animal. He's a creep. Whip him.
You know what, Ben? I'm with you. I'm not opposed to this.
Drop his trousers and whip him.
The same way he did by the fence.
I mean, exactly. Especially when it comes to the even more serious crimes.
Totally agree.
Yeah.
I believe in criminal castrations. Chop stuff off.
Yeah,
whip things.
If you can't use it responsibly, you're going to lose it.
Exactly.
Chop it off.
But I was just peeing my valley, though.
No.
You know? That's what.
Oh, that's great. So you just chop it off.
Yeah.
Whip him and chop it off.
Leave him with, what did you call it, Ben? Leave him with a bonnet.
Yeah.
Okay, that's... the visuals every time I say that.
Horrible.
People are so sick.
Yes, we are.
Monday to Friday, 6 to 9. That's what...
I love that lottery story, Gareth. I need your belly laugh as my ringtone. Love you guys. Sue's from Durban. And Gilmore T coming in next. Journalists still ask Batabile her opinion on matters like the Manana thing. I think as a country, we just should agree that whatever the fuck she says, we should decide to do the exact opposite. She's the barometer of what not to do. That's from Greg. And somebody loves the Chicken Attack song. They have been playing it to everyone. That's Leslie in Midrand.
Oh.
Loves Chicken Attack. It's her favorite thing. But that Batabile Dlamini, because I do want to just pay a bit of attention to her. Forget the Sasa thing that's going on and the fact that she didn't appear in Parliament when she was meant to. This woman went on to the podium at some rally, a Women's Day or ANC Women's League thing, and she said that this whole Manana thing is made up. She said that the whole story was made up and the ANC Women's League doesn't believe the story that Duduzi Manana hit a woman.
They also don't really believe that hitting a woman's a massive problem. It's like,
well, then after that she said, no, I didn't say that. The media lied to you, but we have footage of it. So she's clearly got a problem with the truth. She's not very good at identifying the truth. She's not one of those people you could rely on to say yes when you say I need you to be there at 3. She's not the kind of person you can depend on, which is why I feel very sorry for anyone who's expecting a social grant anytime soon from her department. Because if she's the ultimate person responsible, there are going to be a lot of destitute people who will find themselves more destitute in the next few months. Watch this space. She's not an honest person, is what I'm trying to say. And that's not based on everything that she's done. It's just based on this one event where she said that this guy was lying, that this woman was lying. The woman who Duduzi Manana apparently hit. Anyway, it's all very, very disappointing. We're dealing with the most basic kind of people in government. They're the kind of people who you wouldn't entrust scooping ice cream from the tub into a cone with. Mm. And yet these are the people making important decisions. Very disturbing. All right, enough about that. We've got to get to Gilmore. He's coming up next. Stick around. Plenty to talk about and plenty to still do on CliffCentral.com. It's Shawn Mendes with Nothing Holding Me Back. Yeah, there shouldn't be anything holding you back today. It's Wednesday. It's the 16th of August. Should we get August. Gilmore in here? Yeah, August. It is August. Thank you, Gareth, for getting Gilmore on, says somebody. That's very cool.
Hmm.
And a message for Ben. Watch Louis C.K. on Saturday Night Live speaking about the potential cost of being a pedophile. Apparently it's very funny.
Yeah, and I'm sure it's in line with what we've just been talking about.
Lasiba says, how about that one that had a stroke on the Gau train?
No, guys.
Yeah, because there was that guy who was
we aren't talking about the health stroke,
yeah,
right?
I know.
Like, someone was... I can't with these conversations. But it's just like what I was telling you guys about yesterday after the show, this new trend in the New York metros of people just airdropping dick pics.
So how does that work? You take a picture and then you just airdrop to whoever's phone is nearby?
So I, for example, will just sit in the train and I'll just start airdropping my dick pics to random people. My question is, why do you even accept a file you don't know?
Well, and also, especially if you don't know who it is that's sending it to you.
Yes.
Could also get people to, you know, catch the trend more often.
Or less often.
Ew. No.
Random. I don't know if you want random dick pics.
No.
All right. Let's move on. We've got important things to get to this morning. Gilmore T is in the studio with us this morning. It's time to catch up with him and find out what he's all about. So, ladies and gentlemen. Gilmore, nice to see you, man.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, what's up?
Nothing much. I mean, your guys' show is full of geeks and
don't you dare.
And in the morning, I've been sitting here.
Don't you misrepresent us. That's what's in the news.
No, yeah, that's it.
Huh? So what are you up to? I see you've got this show, this Tatawena. Tell me about it.
Yeah, so basically Tatawena is a Pan-African show where we get people that are behind the people. Our main point of the show is not to talk to your normal celebrities, but we want to talk to people that are actually doing things behind the scenes.
Mm-hmm.
So we bring those people, and those people are the ones that are driving the economy of our continent, is Africa. Our country is Zimbabwe, Botswana, South Africa, etc. Mm-hmm. So the show is mainly on that, and we try not to talk about the individual, but we find a subject and want to hear your opinion on that particular subject.
Can I ask you about a subject that's in the news at the moment? Grace Mugabe came over here and she hit somebody.
I saw that yesterday.
And then she gapped it. She just flew out of the country. She even got a blue light brigade to take her to the airport.
Didn't she go to the court yesterday?
No, she didn't pitch up.
She didn't.
She went to the duty free. That's all she went.
She went to duty free, and then Fikile Mbalula, who's our Minister of Police, said, no, she handed herself in. And then he had egg on his face.
But I thought she handed herself in.
Nope.
Oh, wow.
She just gapped it.
Wow. Right. She's my first lady. You know that, right?
Yeah. So what are you allowed to say, and what are you not allowed to say around?
What am I allowed to say? Oof. I'm allowed to say a lot of things, but I choose what to screen for me as an individual.
So, I mean, do people like the Mugabes have immunity from the media?
Yeah, they do.
Yeah.
Yeah,
so
they do.
Other words, I mean, there's one rule for ordinary people and there's a different rule for them.
There is. I mean, because most of the press is state-owned, so obviously they won't write anything that is against the government. And the private media is the one that is there to write the negative part, not really the negative, but the things that people deem to be the truth about what's happening in the country.
It must be so frustrating for people in Zimbabwe to have to read the sanitized crap. Why are they still bothering? I mean, who watches the national broadcaster? Who reads the state-owned newspapers?
You'll be shocked. Like, a lot of people do follow traditional media because they still feel like, because most of the traditional media in Zimbabwe is state-owned. So they feel those, like, it's more verifying more than the private-owned, because the private-owned media tend to be more superficial, rather, and there's like too much emphasis made on things. So a lot of people actually do follow traditional media that's owned by the government. You'd be shocked.
And are people happy in Zim? They're happy with what's going on?
You know what? I think Zimbabweans just are at the state where they say, you know what? We have to deal with this anyway, every day, whatever is happening in the country.
Dealing with it. So they're just throwing their hands up. I mean, this is where you get those very unkind people, and I'm not one of them, so I don't want you to get me wrong. Those very unkind people who say, you know what? Zimbabweans have just sat on their hands for 30, 40 years and just let whatever happens happen to them. And they've let this man ride roughshod over their rights. They've, in two elections, tried to stand up for themselves and been ignored. And maybe these are just weak people. That's what nasty people have said about Zimbabweans. They'll just accept what you can basically treat these people like shit and they'll just keep coming back for more.
Not really. I think, you know what, we're at a state where we're just like, you know what, we have to deal with things. More important things is like your personal being, like how your day-to-day thing, like how you're living.
Yeah, but
you
can't live in a country where your own rights are being negated at every given opportunity by a government that doesn't care about you. Mm. And to pretend that that isn't an issue seems to me to be obfuscation of the worst kind.
Let me tell you. I feel like there's a lot of people that are responsible for all these governing departments and they need to do something about it. But I think it also comes to own personal capacity. What are you doing about it? Because,
right.
As much as there's so much happening, it still comes back to you as an individual. What is it that you're doing for yourself and for your community? So at the end
how empowered are ordinary Zimbabweans to look after themselves? To take care of these issues?
I think the situation in the country, the hardness that we've gone through has made people more creative in terms of approaching their livelihoods and like, how can I survive as an individual? So you find that a lot of Zimbabweans are they find ways of making things happen. So you won't go to the US, for example, and then electricity goes and people are like, oh my God, it's the end of the world. Oh my God, I'm going to die. Mm. But in Zimbabwe, people are like, what should we do? There's no electricity. So what can I do to make things work for me? So I think that's just the approach many of us have adopted. Mm. And for me, I think it's an amazing thing because when I go to other places, I find that people struggle to just survive. And then some things for me are just basic stuff like, but come on, you have a generator. Why don't you switch it on? And then, so things like that for me have really emancipated me as an individual.
So you went on this young African fellowship, the Mandela Washington Fellowship to the US. How was that?
It was incredible. I mean, but after 3 weeks, I felt like I just wanted to go home because it's like Big Brother Africa without the cameras. Like there's 25 of you staying at a university and, you're seeing these people every single day from 9 o'clock in the morning until 6 PM in the evening. And you're living with them. You have to deal with them. We come from different parts of the world and of Africa, actually. So you find that things that are normal to you, like, please, can you pass that to me, is not courtesy to anybody. Some people just say, take me a picture, I beg, take me a picture. And I'm like, but I didn't come with you for me to take you a picture every time. Why don't you ask me, may you kindly take me a picture, may you kindly do this?
Also, like, Americans tend to think that all of Africa is one thing.
That's the thing, that's what I realized.
We've got so many very different cultures, and some of them are actually they're at loggerheads with each other. Like the way that someone from, say, East Africa would ask for something or do something, the way that someone from West Africa would, is so different.
So different.
So we can't all be put in the same box.
But you know, but one thing that's most amazing or fascinating about when you travel outside, the further you go out of Africa, you realize that the people from Lesotho, Swaziland, Zambia, Zimbabwe, South Africa, they become more of one because you can sort of like identify.
So Southern Africa, we kind of stick together.
Southern Africa, you stick together because you can identify with some things. Yeah. And I remember there's one lady from South Africa. She came during the stay. She came to me and she's like, I'm looking for Gilmore because I speak Ndebele and she speaks Zulu and I can understand when she speaks Zulu and she can understand. And she wanted to just vent out. She's like, oh, there's this lady I'm staying with. She's telling me how to do things. I'm a 32-year-old woman. And she says that to me. And it's amazing how we become sort of like just one the further we go out. But then at the same time, you realize Africa is not a country. Africa is not even a village. Africa is a huge continent.
What do Americans ask mostly about you and about Africa?
Firstly, they have no knowledge of where Zimbabwe is. Unless if you say Mugabe, they'll be like, oh yeah, that's your president. But they also ask stupid things like, how did you come here? So how did you come here? Do you speak English? I'm like, I'm talking to you though.
Say them, I swam.
No, I did that. And then like one of the ladies was like, so do you guys stay with animals? I mean, that's like a typical American question.
Yeah.
And then I was like, yeah, I do actually. We know we've got monkeys in our house, in the kitchen, they're running around. And then she believes it.
Oh my goodness.
But I think the most ridiculous thing is just how did you get here? Like, there's need to be, for Americans to be more informed about other continents and other countries. I think we as Africa has done a lot in that area, because you find that we know where Brazil is, where Malaysia is, but Americans will be like, where are you from?
Yeah,
they have no idea.
They don't know much about us. But I mean, it is difficult at the moment with the kind of reputation that we've got in the world.
Yeah, yeah.
To explain to people what's good about Africa, because they see opportunities here. They see a big market of people who want to buy things. But then they look at the kinds of governments that we've got and they go, uh-oh, not going to invest money there. I don't want to be involved in those. You know, you've got your president who just won't die. You've got...
Come on now.
it's a problem. You've got Nigeria, which is in turmoil at the moment with what's going on with Boko Haram. You've got some presidents who no one can even find. I think the president of Namibia, nobody knows where he is at the moment.
He's on vacation, maybe.
Yeah, nobody knows where he is. We've got our president who's just had his 8th motion of no confidence brought against him in parliament. So people look at this and they go, these guys can't do it right.
But also, don't you think it's also our responsibility as Africans to tell a different narrative? Because there's so much to talk about South Africa besides politics, I guess.
I see a lot of this, but at the same time, we've got to deal with... We always say, Thabo Mbeki always used to say, African problems need African solutions, right? So the biggest solutions we can find are solutions that revolve around our own self-determination.
Okay.
Because we look at the West and we don't want them to tell us what to do. I totally agree with that. But then we've got to show them that we can do better than them.
So how best then can we
do
that?
And we're like this cheap imitation when you look at how certainly our political systems work. No wonder they all look down on us and we always have to feel inferior. Because they look at us and they go, what are these guys doing right?
But we have
and we can't sit there and go, well, we've got, you know, people who can make beads and we can dance and we can sing and we've got like a couple of businesses here and there that are doing reasonably well. Nigeria was for a long time a shining light. And South Africa for a while was a shining light. Those lights have dulled. People are not thrilled. No one in the world's rushing to be a part of the African economy anymore. And that should disappoint us enough to get us moving into the next level.
I get that, but at the same time, for me, what really frustrates me the most is also when we get the opportunity to go, like I saw a lot of people at the Mandela Washington Fellowship, every time they got an opportunity to talk about where they're coming from, they always had like these stories, oh, I was raped, oh, I'm this, and I feel like we also have a responsibility to tell a different story, because already they hear that and they see that in our press, but then when we get the opportunity to talk about where we come from, I know we've got issues in our continent, but then why don't we choose to tell different stories?
Like, positive ones.
Positive ones. And at the same time, there's a time, I've been here in South Africa for like 2 weeks now. And then every time I'm watching TV, there's this popular channel that you guys like. I don't know if I should mention it,
because that's free publicity. You can.
Mzansi Magic.
Yes, of course.
Every time I watch Mzansi Magic, I feel like, okay, imagine if I was a tourist and I had no idea about South Africa. All I see is drugs, guns, things like that. So when we have the opportunity to tell a story, our own stories, we choose to tell those stories that are negative about us.
We're playing into the stereotype.
Yeah, but then the thing is that when I'm a tourist, the first thing I see when I come and I tune into Mzansi Magic is like, oh, there's guns, oh, there's drugs, oh, there's prostitution, oh, there's things like that.
Yeah.
And these people that have the opportunity to tell the South African story, they're not telling anything besides issues of drugs. So obviously, that's the first thing I'm going to see about South Africa, because media has that power. So for me, it's also us, we have a problem. We can't constantly look at the East and the West and expect them to solve our issues. We need to solve our own issues by taking responsibility.
Totally agree.
Yeah, so it annoys me.
And let's not play into the stereotype.
No, we shouldn't.
Let's not show people all our dark and evil and wicked and bad sides. Because all those countries that think they're so important in the West and the East, they also have their dark stuff. They're just better at PR.
Like the street kids in the U.S.?
Yo.
It's a mess. It's a mess. And you don't see that about the U.S. No. Everyone thinks, oh, it's milk and honey and sugar. But when you get to the U.S., you're like, there's so many street kids. There's so many people on the streets that are just trying to earn a living, living on the streets. And that's not what they tell.
Politically, they've got their problems.
They do.
Right? Donald Trump's not an easy thing to deal with.
But I met people that love Donald Trump, by the way.
You did?
I did. They're like hardcore, like country boy, country man people. They love the president. They voted for him. They love him.
There are people in Zim who love Robert Mugabe.
There's a lot of people who love the president. Yeah.
Exactly. But then I do feel that it's not, this is not just for you and me and people in the media to solve. This is for everybody to start solving. And I do believe that this place has massive potential.
Yeah,
and I think a show like yours does a lot to show off the good stuff. And, and that's kind of what you're trying to do with Tatawena,
right? That's what we're trying to do. That's what we're trying to do. I feel like.
So how many people can see you? I mean, where do you flaunt your show?
So we are on ZBC, which is 280 on channel on DSTV channel 280. But we're planning to go to Zambezi Magic also with another, not the same show, but another show.
And it's Pan African. You want it to be Pan African. You wanted
to
showcase
to you guys,
right?
Yeah,
but you wanted to showcase the whole continent with all of its color and all of its interest and all of its language and all of its culture.
Because there's so much to Africa, and there's so much things I think that we have in common, and we shouldn't really run away from the fact that we're different. We are different. We should acknowledge that. So Africa is not a country. We are different people. We have different things, but in our different ways of doing stuff, we have something unique that we each have to share with the rest of the world. So the show is about that. It's not about Zimbabwe or South Africa.
And you've just done a podcast. You started a podcast recently.
I did.
How's that going?
It's fun. I mean, it's fun. And there's a lot of people that are not happy about it.
Why?
Because sometimes...
What have you done, Gilmore?
No, sometime back I was supposed to be on a radio station. And then because I do travel a lot, I was not there at a particular time when they wanted me to be there. So there's a lot of bootlicking that goes on in the media back home. So... I was like, I'm not going to be part of this because I don't want to be sort of like put in a box and be part of this station. And then you want to control my voice and how I say things. So I started the podcast, and the first 4 weeks we were trending on Zimbabwean Twitter at number one. Some people are not happy about it. Like the stations.
I'll bet.
Like, why the hell are you not on our station?
Because Zimbabweans are also looking for new media where they can find the stories they care about.
Exactly.
Where they can hear stuff that isn't what they expect to hear.
And my podcast is about that, basically. Because it's not sort of like controlled by some CEO who's telling you what to say and how to do things. But I'm just saying things the way I feel it should be said. And if you like it or you don't like it, it's really not my baby.
What are the major things that get Zimbabweans hot under the collar? Like what are the topics of discussion that make Zimbabweans really angry? Or really excited.
Talk about issues of, like in Zimbabwe, one of the biggest things we're facing is issues of tribalism. Issues of like, you know, you're from this group, you're from this group. So that when you touch on that, people in Zimbabwe fume like they're going to explode. Talk about issues of,
is it mostly
identity?
Sort of Shona Ndebele stuff?
Shona Ndebele is a huge thing. I think racism is really little in Zimbabwe, but I think Shona Ndebele is the huge thing because even you find that in our sport, it's there in our
and
everything.
The south is more Ndebele and the north is more Shona, right?
Yes.
So Harare is like the Shona capital and
Bulawayo is the capital,
right?
And that's where I'm from.
And obviously there were lots of issues from the last 30 to 40 years of Zimbabwean history that were unresolved too, which have probably fermented and fomented this tribal problem.
Yeah.
Robert Mugabe who's very much a Shona man and who kind of paid far more attention to Shona issues in politics than Ndebele issues. That could be part of the problem.
I think the fact that the war that happened in 1986 happened and it was not dealt with properly, like there was no reconciliation nationally, I think that might have resulted in these things. Because every time something happens, it always comes down to, oh, because I'm Shona, oh, because I'm Ndebele. So it's like an underlining thing. It's under the carpet and it was not dealt with. So every now and again, when something is happening, that always comes out. And it causes such a huge thing. Like when we have Highlanders and Dynamos, Highlanders and Ndebele team, Dynamos is a Shona team. When they're playing in Bulawayo and Highlanders, which is an Ndebele team, loses to Dynamos, you can't even drive in the city because people are fighting. Cause like, why did we lose to this team from Ashona land? So you find that tribalism is an underlining. It's under the carpet. The moment you do something, someone always bring it down there. It's like black Americans, rather. Oh, just because I'm black, that's why I'm doing this. Excuse me, I'm black. Excuse me, I'm this. It's like, I'm also black. Calm down. Like, calm down.
Besides tribalism, what else is there that people get really excited about? Like, you know, if you talk about it once on your podcast, it's just going to drive everyone crazy.
What I spoke about is the lack of identity in the music in Zimbabwe, where you find that everybody's trying to sound like Solange knows. Everyone is trying to sound like Jay-Z or one of those. So every time you talk about issues of identity in the music or identity per se, people fume. some people get excited about it because they're like, oh, finally someone is talking about it, because nobody talks about it. Because you find that maybe the hip hop artist pays the DJ to play the music, so they won't even say anything negative about it. But then you're saying, so where are our stories? Because when you listen to Motswako here in South Africa, you can tell this is from this kind of people. But when you listen to our Zimbabwean hip hop music, you're like, what the hell are you talking about? Because I have no idea what this is about. Which city are you coming from?
Right.
So things, especially identity in music in Zimbabwe, it's a huge thing. Hip hop, especially, it's a huge thing. People get excited about it.
What sort of music do you listen to?
What kind of music do I listen to? I listen to, they call it world music. I listen to Afro soul. I listen to your Youssou N'Dour. I listen to your Oliver Mtukudzi, obviously.
Right.
Tarirone Gitare, Nobuntu. I listen to a lot of, Baba Mao, because I used to stay in Senegal and that was like every single day I used to hear that. So more of that. I think calm music. I don't like boom, boom, pow. I like calm music. Music that allows you to think. The Soil. I love The Soil, by the way.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
I love them. Awesome. That's my music. That's my vibe.
And TV stuff? What do you watch?
What do I watch? I don't like watching, what do I watch? I'm saying I don't like.
That's okay.
I watch a lot of,
sometimes we find out more about you from what you don't watch than what you do.
I don't like watching telenovela or these things, these
telenovelas.
I don't like them. I don't like them. I don't like them. I like watching a lot of documentaries and,
are in the minority, my friend. There are a lot of people in this country. I don't know about Zim. Who love those telenovelas.
I find them annoying because it's like the story just goes on and on and on. So I feel like I want to drive some inspiration from something. So I like watching documentaries. Mm-hmm. How some people have done things. Like I know Fox Life has a lot of those documentaries where they have you on the show and then you tell your story on how you became where you, who you are and where you are right now. So I like watching a lot of those. And I read a lot and I do a lot of outdoor activities actually.
And do you play any sport?
I used to play cricket, but I stopped. But the only thing I do now is a lot of hiking.
Oh, really?
I do a lot of hiking, yeah. So I was supposed to go for hiking last Saturday, and then I didn't wake up early in the morning.
How often do you manage to get down here to South Africa?
How far?
How often?
Every 2 months I'm in South Africa.
Okay, nice.
So I'm constantly here.
Are you doing recording here? Are you looking for sponsors here? What are you working at all, or are you just here on a little holiday?
When I come down, sometimes I'm doing a lot of, I'm trying to do a lot of collaborations. So I do a lot of stuff with the Durban, Etegwini Municipality.
Oh, very good.
The Durban Fashion Fair.
Cool.
I do a lot of stuff in Cape Town with, the South Africa Menswear Week. I'm here in Joburg now because I want to do a lot of stuff with, especially with the fashion and media people. The whole idea is to try to create some synergy per se.
Are you going to Mercedes-Benz Fashion Week?
If I buy the tickets, if I get them, I will go.
But if you're very nice to see her, he might take you as his plus one.
Oh, okay. I know she's nice to you. I'm smiling.
That's a good start.
So I should go there and I'm smiling.
Oh, really now?
Well, but listen.
Gilmore,
it's very nice to meet you. And I really am. I'm pleased that you went on this trip to America and that you were part of this. This young African leader group, but more especially, I'm pleased with the work that you're doing on Tetawena.
Thank you, sir.
And your podcast, man. Strength to you. I hope that you manage to change a lot of things, not just in Zimbabwe, but the rest of the continent with those of us who want to see positive change.
Thank you.
And I really appreciate the fact that there are smart people like you making a difference in
that environment. Oh, that's a compliment. You guys are like way too smart. I was listening to you. I told you, like.
No, you said.
Insane.
No. Yeah. You said when you came in, all we do is talk about dicks and wanking.
No, but then, I mean, that's just, you see, you choose to choose the negative thing that I say.
No, I
But then, the entire thing is amazing. It's uncensored, so it's beautiful.
So, Gilmore, if people want to find out more, where can they find you?
They can find me on all social media platforms, on Instagram, on Twitter, on Facebook, on Snapchat. It's at GilmoreTWE. And my website is GilmoreTWE.com.
Very good.
Yeah, that's it.
Thank you, man.
Thank you very much for having me.
Good to spend some time with you this morning.
Thank you.
All right, Gilmore.
All right.
Nice guy, Mubs. And things going on in Zim, huh?
Absolutely.
You know, the point is, as Gilmore was saying, when people are not given what they really want, whether it's electricity or whether it's media or whether it's opportunity, they find it themselves. And you can't keep good people down. That's the whole point with this stuff. And I think it's really, really important that people like Gilmore keep doing what they're doing, because ultimately the public will choose, and they will choose what they want. And if you're giving them something that they want, you will win.
This is CliffCentral.com.